Welcome to our Cove Ladies Bible Study with Covenant Church. We are so excited you have joined us in this Bible revival. Our goal is for you to be challenged and inspired to go deeper into your study of the living word. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest updates on when new episodes are posted. Let's go right into the study recorded at Covenant Church.
Welcome to the last session of Colossians. We are going to be in Colossians chapter 4. And like I said, it's not the most interesting text that we can read, but hopefully I can make it to where you're interested. And I will tell you that anytime we get through to like names or genealogies in scripture, don't skip over it. It is a wealth of information. So you'll see it kind of come to life a little bit tonight, but that is something that I've learned early on. Don't skip over the genealogies, even though you might be like, this is so boring, it doesn't make any sense. There are lots of little hidden gems in the genealogies. And genealogies are like when they list all the names of people and like who belongs to who. It can get a little much, but we're not seeing genealogy tonight, but it is kind of a lot of names. So anyways, I just wanted to welcome you. If you're jumping in and it's the end of Colossians, have no fear. We are going to continue next week with, I'm going to say it wrong. I say it wrong every time. Philemon. It's Philemon. Philemon. Someone told me that it was Philemon. Filet mignon. Just kidding. It's a book of the Bible. Look it up. Next week, it's very, very short. So we'll spend 1 week on that next week. And then we're going to jump into question mark. I don't know yet. If you have an idea, I mean, I'm praying about things, but if you are like, I really want to study this, I really want to study this section of scripture, let me know. Write it down on a piece of paper, get it to me, text me, because I want to know what y'all want to learn. We've spent a lot of time in the New Testament over the last probably 2 years, and so, and it's been fantastic, but I love the Old Testament too, so if y'all are interested in something, let me know and we'll jump into that, okay? No, well, not Leviticus. I shouldn't say no Leviticus and I shouldn't say no Revelation, but preferably not. Yeah, probably not that. I still have full discretion know what we do, but anyways, okay, let's pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, I just love you so much. I truly am just adoration of what you've done in our life. And I adore what you've done supernaturally recently, God. And I just thank you so much. I can't even speak without you. I can't breathe without you, Lord. And we need you. God, we're asking your Holy Spirit to come now and give us understanding and give us revelation and knowledge of who you are. Make scripture come to life for us, Lord. Make it interesting, Father, and I pray, Father, that you continue to give your women a hunger for your word. And I'm thankful, God, that you continue to show up and speak through your word every single time we open it. So, Lord, we give you all the honor and the glory. I ask for your anointing as I teach, and I ask for the ears of your women to be open to hear everything that you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are finishing up Colossians, but remember, I always want to go over who, what, when, and where. It's important for us to get in the right mind frame of who wrote the scriptures and who they're talking to, okay? So for Colossians, who wrote the book of Colossians?
Paul.
That's right. Where was it written? In his Roman prison, which was probably in his home during this one, but he was under house arrest in prison. When was it written? 60 to 62 AD, which means Christ had already come to earth. He had already been crucified and walked on the earth and then resurrected. And then now the new church is being established in the nations. So that's where we're at in the story, big story of the Bible. Okay. What genre is this?
A letter.
That's right. Specifically a prison letter. Good job, Jamie. You get extra credit today. And who was it written to? The Church of Colossae. That's right. And then why did he write it? Yeah, that's right. To encourage and to come against false teaching. Y'all are such good students. All right, so now we are in the right mindset, and we're going to follow up with, I want to go over a little bit what we talked about last week, and then we'll jump into this week's. So recap from chapter 3, verses 18 through chapter 4, verses 5. Y'all remember that was pretty intense? I wouldn't say intense last week, but it was a lot. You're like, maybe. It was a lot to grapple with, but I felt like the Lord gave us grace for it. But one of the things, or a few things that we learned about last week from Paul, was that as wives, we are to submit to our husbands. And to remember, to submit means to be under rank to our husbands, and that God is a God of order, and He ordained us to be that way for a purpose, okay? And then husbands are called to selflessly love their wives. The children in the home are called to obey. And then this is so important, that we as believers in Christ are called to do everything from the heart as unto the Lord. And then the last part that we learned about in the beginning of chapter 4 was that God is concerned with your prayer closet, the intentionality of your prayers, and He's also concerned with the public ministry that you have. The public street is what I wrote. And He tells us, Paul tells us, to let our speech be seasoned with salt and to be intentional about what we speak. Y'all remember all that?
Yep,
okay, y'all caught it. It was good, right? Okay. All right, so now we're going to go into the final greetings of Paul. And y'all clap if you're getting sleepy. It's not going to be bad, I promise. All right.
Oh, I'm sleepy. I thought you were
like if you're falling asleep. No, if you're falling asleep.
I'm tired.
All right. Verse 7, final greetings. I will butcher the names, even though I looked them up. I'm going to butcher them. Tychicus. That's not how you say it, and I looked it up. Tychicus. We'll call him Ty. That's a good idea. Ty. All right. Ty, our dearly beloved brother. I'm sorry, our dearly loved brother, faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. All right, so let's just stop with verse 7. So Ty was the scribe of the letter. Yeah. Does everyone know what a scribe is? Yeah. So if I wanted to speak to somebody, but I didn't feel like writing it, then I could have Crystal type everything that I'm saying, and she's now my scribe. So Ty was the scribe to Paul, okay? He was also the messenger that brought the letter to the church of Colossae. So Paul trusted him, all right? So Ty was getting sidetracked. Hold on. So Ty was the messenger to bring the letter to the church of Colossae. We do see Ty. It's funny calling him Ty. We do see Ty several times in Scripture in the New Testament. Okay, in Acts 20 and 4, I'm going to look it up and read it to you. We see Ty, and he says, and this is Paul talking, not Paul talking, Luke was telling the story. He named some names. He said, Sopater accompanied him, talking about Paul, and Aristarchus, we're going to see, and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and the Asians, Tychicus, Ty, and Trophimus. We're all with Paul, is the point I want to make there, okay? So we see him in Acts 20, and it mentions Ty as one of the men who came with Paul from Rome to Jerusalem. So he was with him in the very beginning. We see his name come up in the book of Acts, and then we also see him now in the book of Colossians. We're going to see him in the book of Philemon. We're going to see him in the book of 2 Timothy if we were to read there. So what we know about Ty is that he is with Paul throughout his entire journey, and he is very faithful. Whenever Paul refers to him, he talks about him being a dearly loved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. And so his purpose was to bring the news about Paul to the new church. Okay, that was his purpose. Verse 8 says, "And I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know how we are," talking about Paul and all the people that were imprisoned with Paul, "for the sake of the gospel. And also, so that he may encourage your hearts." So to me, when I read that, it reminded me that not only was he just a UPS guy that brought the letter, he was way more than that. He was really a minister. He was a missionary. His job was to go back to the church of Colossae and encourage them. That means that Paul, who is a man of God, trusted Ty as a man of God. Don't you see that? Okay. So he was the messenger. He came to encourage their hearts. I'm going to read to you another scripture, Ephesians 6, 21 through 22 says, and this is Paul talking, and this is what Paul writes at the end of Ephesians, "So that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing, Ty," so our friend is in Ephesians here, "the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything." Listen to what he tells us in Ephesians. "I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts." So I believe that Ty was very much a crucial part of Paul's ministry. He was almost a right-hand man, I would think. So just reading that scripture, did you get all of that about Ty? No, isn't that amazing what happens when you dig in and you're like, okay, who really is this guy? All right. So he's not very well known by people. Okay, but he was faithful and he worked with Paul from the beginning and to the very end. All right. Okay, let's move on to verse 9. Ty is coming with Onesimus, a faithful and dearly loved brother who is one of you, and they will tell you about everything here. So Onesimus is actually a runaway slave from a man in Colossae. Okay, we're going to learn about him in Philemon, however you say it. We're going to learn a lot about him next week coming up. But one of the things that you need to know is that Onesimus robbed his slave owner, and then he ran away to Rome. Theologians say that he went and he ran into Paul in Rome, and that's what converted him to Christianity. And now he's being used as a man of God to go and preach the gospel. Okay, isn't that cool? And I want you to see right here, does Paul say he's coming with Onesimus, a robber, a beggar, a slave? No, he does not say that. In fact, he says the complete opposite. He says he's a faithful and dearly loved brother, and he is one of you. I want you to see yourself as Onesimus and see what people, whenever they see you in Christ, see about you. There's a new light about you once you come into Christ. Okay? All right, verse 10. Oh, and it does say, they will tell you about everything here. So they're going to bring to you all the who's and what's it's of what's going on in the Roman prison. Okay? All right, guys. Verse 10. Aristarchus, I wish I knew Greek so I could read these. "My fellow prisoner sends you greetings, as does Mark, Barnabas's cousin, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him." We'll pause there. So Aristarchus is a friend that we're going to talk about. It says that he is a fellow prisoner. Does y'all's version say something different? Okay. He's a fellow prisoner. And he is a prisoner because of what happens in Acts 20. The reason why Paul is in prison in the first place, if you remember, he and his fellow people, preachers, what's the word there? Friends? Jesus friends? I don't know the word. They were preaching that Gentiles were able to receive salvation just like the Jewish people. And the Jewish people did not like that. Okay, that came against everything that they believed. They did not believe in Christ as the Messiah. And what it did is whenever they said that it was for the Gentiles, which is every single non-Jew, it started a riot. And so they put them in prison during the riot. Okay, and Scripture says that they took Paul and they took those with him and put them in prison. So Aristarchus is one of those fatalities. He ended up in prison too. Okay. Acts 20 tells us that he's Macedonian. And that's what we know about him right now. He is in other places in Scripture, but that's all we really need to know about him right now. But he's in prison with Paul. And then he says, as does Mark, Barnabas, his cousin. So this is the first mention of who, of Barnabas and his cousin Mark. And I think this is so interesting. If we read back in the book of Acts, chapter 15, I'm going to read it to you. Verses 36 through 40, if you're taking notes. We see that Mark and Barnabas had a little falling away with Paul at one point. You want to hear it? Okay. Acts 15, verses 36 through 40. It says, and after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord and just see how they are. Now, Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. So he wanted to take his, now we know it's his cousin. Barnabas wanted to take his cousin Mark with him. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So Mark had skipped out on the mission trip. He didn't go. And Paul was like, so he doesn't get to go on this one. It's basically what's going on this, okay? And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark, now we know it's his cousin, with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. All right, so they had a little falling away back in Acts. But what's interesting is now we see Paul saying that Aristarchus sends you greetings, and also Mark does send you greetings, concerning whom you have received instruction. If he comes to you, just welcome him. Which to me means we're seeing an act of forgiveness and restoration on Paul's part. Do you see that? If they had broken up back in Acts, and now we're seeing this is a good guy, and he's sending you greetings too, then obviously Paul's had some reconciliation in his heart. Don't you see that? Isn't that cool? So Paul teaches us, it, to me, teaches us in this section, we got to forgive and move on. Okay. Maybe you didn't get that, but that's what I got out of that. All right. Anyone want to add to that? Anyone, any comments about that? That was interesting.
It's funny because there is drama in the Bible.
There is so much drama in the Bible. And there's comedy in the Bible. Well, I used to think, it's not comedy, but the first time I read that Elijah sent the bear to eat the kids, I was like, he just did that? For real? So if you didn't know, Elijah sent a bear to eat some kids. And I was like, hold up. It's not funny, but it is kind of like, because they were picking on him. That's why. Because they called him bald. I think it was bald, right?
Oh,
yes. Go away, bald, or something like that. And he said, I told you. So he sent a bear to eat them. Anyways, there is a lot of drama in the Bible. All right, so we just learned about Aristarchus and Mark, Barnabas' cousin, verse 11. And so does Jesus, who is called Justice. This is not Jesus Christ. If you read this without understanding the context of where you were in Scripture, you may be like, why is Jesus called Justice? That is not Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Do what?
And in prison.
And in prison, yeah. That is not him, okay? Jesus has already ascended into heaven. This is just a man named Jesus who was called Justice, okay? And that's all we really know about Jesus called Justice. These alone of the circumcised are my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. All right, if you didn't know Jewish tradition, this is another time where you'd be like, why are they talking about that in the Bible? But under Jewish law, men had to be circumcised, and now, in the new covenant with Christ, our hearts are circumcised, which means that all of the undesirable things are torn away or cut away by Christ, okay? And so it's not a physical act anymore. So that's just what he's talking about there. But he's just saying here that there's a few men of Jewish heritage that are with him, and they obviously mean a lot to Paul because he talks about them being a comfort to him. Do you see that? Okay. Verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, talking about the Colossians, is a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And then it gets really interesting about Epaphras. So first of all, we saw Epaphras in the very beginning of Colossians. I'm going to go back and read that part to you, where he says, I should have highlighted it. Oh, here it is. Chapter 1, verse 7. You learned this from Epaphras, our dearly loved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has told us about your love in the Spirit. So early on, we learned that Epaphras was the man that brought the news of the Colossian church to Paul in Rome. He journeyed there. Okay, does everyone remember who he was? Now that I've said it, do you remember who he was? Okay, so Epaphras, he is well known in the Church of Colossae. So Paul can just reference his name and everyone knows who he is. So it's like if you come to this church and everyone says, oh, you know Pastor Jeremy? Yeah, everyone knows who Pastor Jeremy is, right? Even if you've only been here one time, now you know probably who he is. That's how it was there. So he said Epaphras and everyone knows who he was. Then he says, he is one of you. He is a bond servant of Christ Jesus. Does anyone's version say bond servant? Servant or a bondservant of Christ Jesus. I believe the most original text says bondservant. And so this is one of the commentaries said that Paul only gave himself that name. Now he has given it to Epaphras, and he also gives it to Timothy later on, that to be a bondservant of Christ Jesus. I just thought that was very interesting. He was faithful to God. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
What
was it? Bond servant. What does yours say? Just a servant?
Slave.
A slave. Some versions say bond servant. Some just say servant. Some say slave, I think. Timothy. Mm-hmm. All right, then he says this about Epaphras. Epaphras is always wrestling for you in his prayers so that you can stand mature and fully assured in everything God wills. For I testify about him that he works hard for you, for those in Laodicea and for those in Hierapolis. Okay, Paul has a lot to say about this man. Anytime there's more than one sentence about somebody, take note of them because they've played a huge part in something, okay? Either for the good or for the bad. What I thought was interesting to see here was that Epaphras was burdened for his brothers and sisters in Christ. Like he had a true burden, I feel like, for the church, which I think shows why he would even go to Paul in the first place to say, Paul, you need to pray for us. There are some false things coming into this church, and we need some direction, and we need you to pray on our behalf. Could you see that, probably? So he had a burden for his brothers and sisters, and Scripture says that he prayed fervently. Why do we pray fervently about things? Anybody can answer. Why do we pray? If you care about something, you pray fervently about it, right? Yeah, that's right. If we care about something, we pray fervently for it because we believe that God truly can heal it or truly can do the work if it be his will, right?
Fervently means very enthusiastically or
passionately. Yeah, so to passionately pray for something. Now, I've been so guilty of like having a true need but not really fervently praying about it. I'm just asking once, maybe twice, and that's it. But on Sunday night, I fervently prayed about something, and I received a healing, a supernatural healing touch in my body. But it had to come from a fervent prayer. Does that make sense? So all of that to say, Epaphras had a true passion for the people of his church of Colossae. So much so that he was faithful to fervently pray for them, because he cared much about them and because he had faith in a God who would hear his prayers, okay? He desired for the church to be mature and fully assured in everything that God wills. That should be our desire for our church also, okay? And if it's not, make it a desire for you to pray fervently for your church to be mature and fully assured in everything that God wills in this house and as a global church, okay? All right, verse 13. Oh, for I testify about him that he works hard for you, talking about Epaphras, for those in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis, which are the neighboring towns. And then verse 14, Luke, the dearly loved physician, and Demas send you greetings. So I know this is just like he just barely touches on Luke, but I thought we got to dig into Luke because Luke is one of the original disciples. And then also we have the Gospel of Luke. So Luke has a very strong presence in Scripture. So when his name comes up, I do think it's important for us to take note of it. This is the one verse in Scripture where we learn that Luke is a physician. He's a doctor. And if you read through the book of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts, if you read through it, you can get a lot of little hints that he is actually a physician. Like the way he describes the woman with the issue of blood is different than how other people describe it. So it is, he's very like scientific sometimes with the way that he speaks and presents what has happened in the life of Christ. Okay, it's very interesting. So he is a physician. He is the author of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And here's the important thing to note. He walked with Jesus. Like, he was with him all the time. So he walked with Jesus. And now, even through Christ's ascension, he is still interested in spreading the gospel. Okay? He still is faithful to it. All right. Now, I'm going to share something with you that I thought was so interesting reading commentary. But it is purely opinion. Okay? Everyone say purely opinion. Cannot find it in the Bible. However, I just think it's really interesting. And I think it'd be interesting to dive into more. So several of the commentaries as I was reading brought this up. And every single one of them said, this is purely opinion. It is not theology, like, or it is not like for certain. But they do believe, several commentators believe that Luke was in Rome at this time when he was, to deliver a document that he'd written to the courts, to Caesar's courts. And the document that he had written was the book of Acts and the Gospel of Luke, which was to be used as essentially a character reference for Paul and why he was in prison by the sake of Christ. So I just think it's so interesting because when you go back and read the beginning of the Gospel of Luke and the beginning of the book of Acts, he says, I'm writing this to Theophilus. I don't know who Theophilus is, and no one knows who Theophilus is, but if you read through it, it's very interesting to think, what if this was written as a court document just to show Caesar, no, this stuff really happened, and this is how it happened, and I was there. Everyone say purely opinion. Cannot find that in the Bible, but I just think it's very interesting. So I said, Lord, reveal that to us if that's true, because that's really cool. Okay, that's an aside. All right, and then Demas. We're going to see him again in Philemon. I cannot say that name. I'm going to study how to say that. Philemon. And then we also see him in 2 Timothy 4, where unfortunately we see that Demas had forsaken the faith or forsaken his walk with Christ through Paul, with Paul, and he had given up the faith. Okay? I put that in there to say, is it possible for us to give up on the faith? That's why Scripture strongly encourages to have endurance and have steadfastness and to not give up. Take heart. Do not let momentary weaknesses deter you from an eternal weight and glory. Okay? Scripture tells us that so much. And we see through Demas that it is possible to forsake the faith. All right. Verse 15. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters in Laodicea, which is the neighboring town to Colossae and Hierapolis, and to Nympha and the church in, what pronoun does your Bible say?
Her.
Does anyone say his?
His house.
Anyone else say his?
Hers.
His. There's a hers and his. Okay. So different translations say his. Different translations say her house. Does it really matter?
No.
But it is interesting, and here's what I came to the conclusion of. First of all, it doesn't matter. Second of all, we have to remember that these scriptures were transcribed by hand. And whenever we're talking about a Greek pronoun, like the way that they probably wrote it, it could have been a slip of an O or an A. You know what I mean? Like, any of you know Spanish? They use O's and A's, the masculine and the feminine. So it could have very easily been an A when it should have been an O, or it should have been an O when it looked like an A or something. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to point that out. So whoever Nympha was, they had a home church. And that's all he's saying. Okay? Just give them greetings. Verse 16, after this letter has been read at your gathering, have it read also in the church of the Laodiceans. So remember when we talk about the genre of this letter, or of this book, we talked about how it was a prison letter. It was a letter that was written to the new churches, and it was to be passed around, okay? So this is how it would happen. He wrote it on a piece of parchment, and then it went to the church of Colossae. They would transpose it. They would copy it, and then it would go to the church of Laodicea, and they would copy it, and it would go to the church of Hierapolis, and they would copy it, and it would go to the church of Ephesus. That's how it worked, okay? So that they had the original manuscript, and it went on to be with the next church, okay?
Can you imagine how it would be like that?
I'd be all crazy. And, papyrus is not very big, so it's not going to take a lot. All right, so it's to be read around the churches. And then I thought this is so interesting. Really, this was an opportunity for Paul to be able to preach to the church. If it is read out loud, he's preaching to that church without even being there. He's inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes forth in the Word. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in this specific book, Paul, who's writing the letter, he's in prison, and he's the one encouraging.
But notice this whole chapter has been notating
about. Yes. Yeah. This specific chapter is, it's like the final greeting of it all, or the final farewell of the letter. So he's preaching from far away. The Holy Spirit goes forth in the word that is spoken. Okay? Then the next part of the scripture. So have it read to the Laodiceans, and then see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. Now, do we have a book in the Bible called Laodicea? No, we don't. But does that mean that, so we know from this that there was a letter written to Laodicea. Does it matter that it's not canonized in the Bible? No. Obviously, we believe that the Holy Spirit canonized, or what's the word, put together the Holy Scriptures. And so we can't question what's in the scriptures or what's not in the scriptures necessarily. But there was a letter to Laodicea. Some commentators believe that the letter to Ephesus was actually the letter to Laodicea, which is an interesting thought. Okay. What did I write about that? Oh, I wrote in my notes, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That Laodicea is part of Revelation, though. If there is a note to Laodicea in Revelation. You may want to read that too. Verse 17, and tell Archippus, pay attention to the ministry you have received in the Lord so that you can accomplish it. Okay, we're going to see Archippus again in Philemon. Golly. But I think it's so important right here to understand what Paul is telling Archippus. First of all, he's speaking directly to somebody in this. But he's not really speaking to him. He's saying, church, go and encourage your brother. I think that is so important, because it is one thing for Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Brianne to call me and say, Casey, you're doing a great job. Stay encouraged. Don't give up. It's a whole nother thing whenever my sisters call me and say, I just want to let you know that your fight time spoke to me last night. That's a big deal. Okay, or Trisha, you're doing an excellent job. Like, I love seeing your walk in Christ. Like, keep going. That's a big deal to hear it from us, right? So I feel like that's what Paul was encouraging the church to do. Listen, we have to encourage one another. So he's telling the church, he said, you go and tell him to pay attention to the ministry, or take mind to the ministry, or heed the ministry. What does your version say?
Take heed.
What did you say?
Fulfill
the ministry. Okay. See to it that you complete it and you can accomplish it.
I really like that.
Yes. So he's saying it's important to encourage those in their ministry. Remember, every member of the Church of Jesus Christ is a minister. You're all a minister. Okay? So it's important to encourage those in ministry. And then it says, take heed to the ministry. God gives ministry to his people. True ministry is received in the Lord. And the ministry, if it's not going forth, it could be left unfulfilled. Can you see that? So it's important that we continue in our ministry so that we can actually accomplish it.
Is that what your entire verse said?
My entire verse says, and this version says, pay attention to the ministry you have received in the Lord so that you can accomplish it. Anyone want to add anything on that? All right. And then the very last scripture, I think it's really cool, the last verse. I, Paul, am writing this greeting with my own hand. So remember we talked about how Ty was the scribe, and he was actually the one writing on the parchment paper. Well, this is just reminds me of this. I feel like Paul, with his ankle monitor on, okay, he took that paper, and he said, nope, this one's my part. This is my turn. And he signed it real big. I, Paul, I'm signing this to let you know that I'm giving you this greeting with my own hand. But remember my chains, and then grace be with you. Remember my chains. I feel like that's there's some sorrow probably in that and some emotion in that. And then okay, remember my imprisonment. Anyone else to say something different?
Not just remember my bonds.
Remember my... Bonds. Remember my bonds. Yeah. So I think there's some emotion behind that, I would think. If I was writing it in chains, I'd be like, listen, don't... I'm not doing this in vain. Y'all got to keep going, okay? It's for real. That's right. And then grace be with you. We have to have grace to endure to the end. We can't do it without grace. All right? So I told you it's not super long, but it's very interesting. But I want to point out the last thing. Remember that when we read scripture, we read to find the heart of God, right? So one of the things that, or the little thing that I put out, my knowing God statement is this. Well, let me say this first. I wrote in my notes. God knows us even if we feel like people don't. So the names that we read today, have you ever even heard of them before you read this? No, it's not names that we hear. They're probably not going to preach about Epaphras from the pulpit. Probably not, or Demas, okay? But God knows our name even when people don't. Our intention is not to be known by man. It's to be known by God and to be known well by God, right? For him to hear our voice. So my knowing statement is, knowing that God uses the nameless shows me that he can absolutely use me. Amen? Anybody else feel like that? If he can use Demas, he can use me. Okay? All right. That's all I have for you ladies for tonight. Let me pray us out and then we'll chat. Lord, I'm so grateful for your word. I'm thankful, Father, that you do choose to use us who are so incapable and just so insufficient without you, Lord. And I know that the desire of our heart is not to be known by man, Lord, but to be known by you. So hear our voices, Lord. Know our hearts. Continue to refine us, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, that we are women similar to Ty that we just read about, Lord, that are faithful to you from the beginning, whenever you call our name, until the very end. Help us to endure and have patience and steadfastness in all that you call us to do, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for knowing and showing your character to us, and help us to be good stewards of what you've given us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
Thank you for listening to our Cove Ladies Bible Study Podcast. Please click the link below to check out all of our upcoming events and classes. Have a great day, and we will see you on the next episode.